Well, good morning. It's truly a privilege to be here this morning. The first thing I want to do this morning is to say thank you. Thank you for your support of Mennonite Central Committee. West Heights has been a great promoter and a champion for MCC over the years, whether it's house churches coming to thrift shops and sorting through donations, whether it's knotting comforters, whether it's packing kits, whether it's hosting Project Give, which I found out this morning is in its 11th year. So thank you so very, very much. I have the privilege of being here this morning as being part of our faith community at West Heights, but also as being part of the family at MCC. So some of you may be wondering, I started with MCC in 2008. I spent 5 years managing the thrift shop in Waterloo. That thrift shop closed and I moved into the role of general manager at the new thrift shop in Kitchener. Spent 5 years there. And then last year, somebody by the name of Kim Lester, who some of you may know, approached me about an opportunity to work in revenue development. So a little over a year ago, I switched roles and am now working in donor relations. And for someone who is maybe considered a bit of an extrovert, it's a pretty good fit because I get the privilege of meeting people and saying thank you. My job is literally to say thank you. And I get to be a part of these sacred moments where I get to bring people with their passions, their interests, their capacities, and really allow them to make a difference all around the world. All around the world. Next year, MCC is celebrating our 100th year, our centennial year. That's a long time. We've been around for quite a while. We actually are older than McDonald's. McDonald's is only 64 years old. We're older than Tim Hortons, which is 55 years old. For those of you that drive a Toyota, they're only 82 years old. For those of you that maybe attended the University of Waterloo or are currently at Waterloo, they're only 57 years old. And for those of you in the crowd, the younger generation that think social media has been around forever, Instagram, the gram, has only been around for 9 years. So MCC, we've been around. And 100 years later, our work is still the same. Our work is focused in three areas: relief, development, and peace. Our relief work is natural disasters, emergency food. Our development work is education, health, water. Our peace work, which sets us apart, is working with folks who have never experienced a non-violent resolution to their problems. It's working in peace clubs all over the world. And our work is in Ontario, Indigenous neighbors, our low German population, working with women and men in Kitchener-Waterloo struggling with homelessness. Our restorative justice program, working with folks at Grand Valley Institute, folks who've committed sexual offenses and are coming out of prison and trying to get established back in our communities. And it's our work in refugee sponsorship and resettlement, which West Heights knows all so well, as we recently sponsored a family to come. And as MCC acknowledges and celebrates our 100 years, we are going back to our beginning. We're going back to the work that we began a century ago, back to our roots of supporting displaced people. MCC's work began 100 years ago in what is now Ukraine, helping and supporting people. People who didn't have their basic human needs being met. People who didn't have the resources or the tools to plant their crops. People that literally didn't have food on their table. Vulnerable people that were tired, hungry, and scared. So I want you to take a moment and imagine. Imagine being pregnant. Now, for some of us in the room, maybe mostly the men, that might be a little harder to do, but I want you to imagine being pregnant. And then I want you to imagine being young. Also difficult maybe for some of us in the room. But I want you to imagine being young and being pregnant. You've never done this before. You're excited, but a little uncertain. You're having all of these new feelings, and you're trying to sort them out, and it's kind of tough. And on top of all of that, your body is changing. You're kind of in this awkward state of wobbling around. You're excited for your new arrival, but it's just really uncomfortable to find a place to sit. And to top that all off, you have to go to the bathroom twice as much as you normally do. It's a time in your life when you want the comfort of home, the familiarity of the things that you're used to, your own bed, the smell of familiar food, the safety and security that comes from being at home. Imagine being pregnant, only weeks, months to go, and suddenly you're forced to leave. You're told that you have to go on a trip. There's this important meeting you have to attend, an appointment that can't be missed. And to top it all off, it's all the way on the other side of Toronto. It's like all the way in Oshawa, 150 plus kilometers away. And there's no car. There's no bus. There's no GO train. You're forced to walk. You're thinking, Heather, that is absolutely crazy. There's no way we would ask Natty, sitting over here 7 months pregnant, to walk all the way to Oshawa. That's ridiculous. It's bizarre. It's very peculiar. But what appears to be an unimaginable or crazy illustration from our North American perspective is actually the familiar beginning of our Christmas story. The Christmas story, in many ways, is less than ideal. It's an uncomfortable start. It's a very unusual beginning. A story where a soon-to-be family of three had to travel hundreds of kilometers from Nazareth to Bethlehem. A story where a family had to flee for fear from a ruler who wanted to kill their newborn child. Our Christmas story of mangers and angels, of cute animals and twinkling stars, possibly doesn't actually convey the reality of the real situation. Our Christmas story is actually one of conflict, of displacement, of terror. It's a story where our Savior came to earth in the form of a vulnerable, poor, and displaced child. And if we focus only on the quaintness of the story, if we concentrate on the animals, the sheep, the angels, the manger, the gifts, we miss the significant part of vulnerability, of displacement, and of uncertainty. It's a story we read from centuries ago. However, it is a story that is not so different from the reality of today for many, many people. In Matthew 25, Jesus says, "I was a stranger and you welcomed me. Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me." If we don't look at the displaced, suffering, hungry people around the world, then I would say we're missing part of the Christmas story. Displacement in the world has now reached over 70 million people. There are more displaced people from their homes by drought, conflict, flooding, and other natural disasters than ever in our history before us. 70 million people. That is an absolutely astronomical number. How can we even begin to wrap our minds around that? And even more importantly, how can we begin to imagine that we here at West Heights can make a difference? What is our little part doing? It can be discouraging, and some days it can be rather demotivating. Mother Teresa once said, "If I look at the mass, I will never act. If I look at the one, I will." If we move ourselves outside of what's comfortable and share God's love and compassion for all, we realize that we can start to change the world one small action at a time. And when these actions are all put together, that is where the power of faith and perseverance begin to have a big impact. I want to share a story with you this morning of looking at the one. Or in this particular story, it's looking at the three. It was the summer of 1998, August to be exact. Three young siblings, Bessette, 5 years old, Tessa, 7 years old, and big brother Oliver, 9 years old, were enjoying a typical day in their quiet village in the southeastern part of Congo. Although their country had been in constant turmoil since the spillover of the Rwandan genocide in 1994, the young family and their village had never experienced any violence or conflict. This was also significant because they were Congolese Tutsis, which was a particular tribe that often experienced persecution and marginalization. But being in this quiet village, they enjoyed the calm, peaceful, and stable life. On that day in August, their 18-year-old aunt was staying with them as their parents, Augustine and Sarah, were tending to their crops and cattle a short distance away. Augustine, who was the village pastor, also had a few cattle and some crops to help assist the family and to put food on their table. Suddenly, without warning, violence erupted in their village. Gunfire echoed and reverberated through the streets. Their village was under attack. There was panic and there was fear. This had never happened before. The children had never even heard the shot of a gun or the sound that it makes. With sheer fright, the children and their aunt fled from their house as the gunfire drew closer and closer. They literally only had moments to escape. The bodies of friends and family lay on the streets around them. They were terrified for their lives. And their parents were nowhere to be seen. They ran out of the village and didn't look back. They ran north, and they ran, and they ran, and they ran some more. And when their small legs couldn't run, they walked. There were others, many others. Others who had watched their loved ones die. Other children without their parents. Together they walked for days on end. And then the days became weeks. They had brought nothing with them. They were hungry and thirsty. They were tired and they were scared. All the while, the three children, Bessette, Tessa, and Oliver, searched frantically among every new face they encountered, desperately looking for their mom and dad. But they were nowhere to be found. The terrifying thought began to overtake their young minds. They had become orphans. Eventually, after weeks of walking, the group made their way out of the Congo and crossed the eastern border into Burundi, where they found a refugee camp. But the hardships continued to fall on these young children. The stable life they once enjoyed with their family in their quiet village was all but a far and distant memory. And then one day, after a year of staying with the children, their aunt, the only family they had, who was still a teenager herself, left for the promise of a better life with a man she met. The children were all alone, vulnerable and abandoned. Shortly after that, there was a faint sign of hope as they were adopted out of the refugee camp by a young couple, a pastor and his wife, rescuing them from their vulnerable situation. But the hope was short-lived. The children were beaten and treated as slaves. The days became weeks. The weeks became months. It became absolutely unbearable. Together one night, the children mustered all their courage and made their escape from the house. It was risky on many levels. The three of them were fleeing for their lives once again, now 7, 9, and 11 years old. A few days on the run, the three of them found their way to yet another refugee camp in Burundi. This camp became their home for the next 17 years. And then, one beautiful day in the spring of 2017, the three siblings, now young adults in their 20s, received the news that they had long dreamed of. Their application to become refugee claimants to Canada had finally been accepted. Bessette, now with two young girls of her own, aged 4 and 6, Tessa and Oliver, arrived at Toronto Pearson Airport on September the 13th, 2017, with MCC as a sponsorship agreement holder. A group of friends, 4 families from the Toronto area, had come together to be their sponsors. They were not sure what to expect, but were excited and nervous, and so willing to become part of this journey and their story. The group immediately experienced such warmth and openness from the siblings and felt such a deep sense of love and connection. But sometimes, accompanying people on their journey can take unexpected turns. And this past June, there was an unexpected turn that no one ever expected. An old family friend of the three siblings, who himself had previously come to Canada from Congo as a refugee, traveled to Uganda to visit some friends in a refugee settlement. One afternoon, while he was walking in the settlement, he thought he caught a glimpse of some old friends. His heart jumped. The faces were so familiar. But it couldn't be possible, because they were faces of friends that died long ago in 1998 on that August day. Could it really be? Could they be alive? He returned to Canada and was eager to tell Oliver of his discovery. He wasted no time to call him on the phone, but once on the phone, he realized this news could be potentially very destabilizing. As sponsors had formed a strong friendship with the children, he instead decided to contact them and ask them to share the news. Two of the sponsors shared this news with Oliver, who sobbed and sobbed. There were so many levels of emotion. And then Oliver told his sisters. But now the task remained to find out if, indeed, his parents were still alive. The sponsors had a friend in Uganda who asked to travel to this refugee settlement to see if he could find the parents. For 3 days, this friend searched high and low for the couple. The camp contained 60,000 refugees living in scattered settlements over an area of 200 kilometers. This was no small task. Eventually, he found a couple that sounded promising. Their names were Augustine and Sarah. He asked if he could meet them, and they had no idea why. And then the conversation started. He asked about their story, their journey, and their family. They told of their escape from Congo in 1998. They reflected that when the violence hit, they had fled south and had become separated from their three young children. And after a desperate search, had been given up all hope that their children were alive. They talked of their life in the refugee camp in Uganda and of rebuilding their family after the loss of three children. And then the question came, what were the names of your three children? Without hesitation, Augustine replied with deep sadness in his voice, Beset, Tessa, and Oliver. On the other side of the world, the three siblings sat pensively with their sponsors, waiting for the word, and then the text came. Your parents have been found. They are alive. Immediately following, through the use of technology and mobile phones, the first reunion between the parents and children took place. And just 2 months ago, three people from the sponsorship group accompanied Tessa and Oliver to the refugee settlement in Uganda. And there they had a beautiful and sorrowful reunion. Augustine called it a resurrection. This is a picture of the moment the mother and daughter reunited after 22 years. Such a sacred moment. And the family of three siblings, along with two children, suddenly has become a family of 14. They discovered they had four other siblings born to their parents, who in turn have married and have children. And now, through this same sponsorship group and MCC, the planning is underway to try to completely reunite and resettle this family in Canada over the next couple of years. It is a story of being willing to see the one and choosing to respond. It is a story of how seeing the one has now had life-changing impact on an entire extended family. Our work at MCC is not done. Nor is it uncomplicated. Our refugee staff hear stories of families separated and torn apart more than sometimes our hearts can handle. This is one story that has a remarkable ending, but there are many more. Still, through the complicated, through the conflict, and through the vulnerability, great work is being done. Within Ontario, the first half of this past year, 9 incarcerated individuals at GVI produced 26 comforters for MCC. 110 newcomers came to Ontario. 4,000 hygiene kits, 2,000 relief kits, 4,714 comforters, along with a variety of other kits, were shipped to Jordan, home of many refugees, and Ukraine, where this still is a need 100 years later. So thank you. Thank you for having an impact. Thank you for choosing to see the one, as Mother Teresa said. Thank you for looking at the story of Christmas and not stopping there. Thank you for realizing that there is more and choosing to respond. Thank you for walking with us at MCC. Thank you for understanding the difference that can be made through nodding comforters, through packing hygiene kits, and through your financial support. Thank you for praying for the work that is happening here in Ontario, that is happening in refugee camps in Burundi, and that is happening in homes and families all around the world. Thank you.
We need to pray. That's the only response I've got, so please join me in prayer right now. Lord Jesus, this morning has been a great time together where we've been able to laugh, shout, sing. We've been able to enjoy the energy of kids. And Lord, we've been able to be challenged to hear about the need that exists and how you are moving your people to bring your peace and your love. Lord, these are holy moments, and so we acknowledge that. Lord, we're so grateful for this story that we've heard this morning, the good news, how you have been at work over these many, many, many years. And Lord, for that, we want to give praise for this family that has been reunited, is being reunited. At the same time, we acknowledge, Lord, that there's a huge amount of need out there. A lot of families, a lot of stories that we don't know how it's going to end. And so, Lord, in this moment, we ask that you would give each of us a vision for the one. And Lord, that you would enable us to act generously, justly, and with love. Lord, use us to be a part of what you are doing in the world. And Lord, we thank you for an organization like MCC and for the good things that they are doing and for the ways in which they make it easy for people like us to be involved in what you are doing. And so, Lord, we ask for your blessing to be upon MCC, that organization, the people that work there, and Lord, that you would multiply the resources that they have so that many, many, many more families would have stories like this. God, as your people, it is our prayer for peace, that your peace, your joy, your love would come and break in radical and new and fresh ways. And so, Lord Jesus, at this Christmas season, we invite you to come, and we anticipate how you are going to work, knowing that you can do more than we could ever ask for or imagine. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.